This episode of Neighbors is brought to you by Yazoo Brewing Company, a Southern original brewed in Nashville, Tennessee since 2003. They're makers of beer like Yazoo Pale Ale, Gerst, and their brand new Daddy-O Pilsner, which was crafted in honor of brewmaster Linus Hall's grandfather. His name was Parker Bullet Hall. In 1939, he played his first season in the NFL for the Cleveland Rams and was named Rookie of the Year and MVP of the league. You can get a free pint glass when you enter the promo code NEIGHBORS, along with your purchase of merchandise from yazoobrew.com. Yazoo is a proud supporter of all neighbors everywhere, sharing stories over a pint. Hey, Jacob here. This episode contains some profanity and might not be suitable for all ages. All right, let's do this.
Hey, Jacob, it's Nate Rusk. This is a weird favorite food. I love tomatoes.
Hey, Jacob, this is Tony Gonzalez. I'm calling you from Zaxby's.
Hey, Jacob, my name's Robin, and I want to talk about food.
I love raw tomatoes, in particular, grape tomatoes, Roma tomatoes.
Sushi, please, with avocado.
Have you ever had this Zaxby's chicken sandwich?
Hey, this is Alex Kaplan.
I love bagels and lox. I love bagels and lox. It's like my favorite thing in the entire world.
Cherry tomatoes, baked tomatoes, you know, just, you put a tomato on anything, oh man, it just, I love tomatoes.
Jacob, your father-in-law, Craig, is calling. My favorite food is venison tenderloin.
Cottage cheese with tomatoes. I'm telling you, tomatoes is where it's at. Well, that's my favorite food. Kind of weird, but there you go. Bye.
Food. Some of my richest times in community have been around food. Holiday meals, dinner with friends, eating on the job site when I used to work as a cabinet maker. They are times of sharing, times of belonging, times of deliciousness. But what if you couldn't have that with others? What if you were left out?
Security and safety at a dinner table? Don't you think that's important? Know that you can eat everything that's on the table.
This is Sam Tucker, a big man with curly orange hair, a contemplative face, and flour on his hands. He's a baker, a really good one. He's been doing it for 25 years. He's worked at a lot of restaurants and bakeries, and those experiences have led him here, to his own bakery and restaurant in the Nashville Farmers Market. It's called Village Bakery and Provisions. Sam's prepping for the day by rolling out some pastry dough.
This is our biggest selling breakfast pastry. It's called a Goshen. It's a Danish pastry.
It looks really good.
We roll almonds, butter, cinnamon, sugar. It's basically a sticky bun.
This decadent sticky bun is delicious. And it represents one of Sam's biggest passions, baking. It's not a job. It's not even a vocation. It's like a moral imperative in his life to provide high-quality food to the world, which makes the sticky bun kind of like a cosmic joke. What do I mean? Well, have you ever seen the movie Mr. Holland's Opus? We've got Richard Dreyfuss, who plays Mr. Holland, a super passionate man who's in love with music and good at making it, just like Sam is with food. In the movie, Mr. Holland and his wife Iris have a son. Here's a scene where Mr. Holland is sitting next to his wife on a piano bench. Their baby son is on his mom's lap, and she's moving his hands lightly across the keys while Mr. Holland plays.
I don't know why she's wallowed that fly.
Perhaps she'll die. The kid isn't natural.
It must have been all that music you played at my stomach while I was pregnant.
Now here's the cosmic joke. One day Mr. Holland is at a parade with his wife and son. Behind a marching band is a loud fire truck with its horn blaring. The joyous occasion is not quite so happy for all the babies in attendance. Mr. Holland looks around. Every child there is crying. But he looked at his son Cole, and there was nothing. No reaction whatsoever. You see, he was deaf. The son of the man so passionate about music couldn't hear music. So back to this delicious sticky bun. What's the cosmic joke that it represents? No, that's coming up in a minute. I'm Jacob Lewis, and from Nashville Public Radio, you're listening to Neighbors, where stories of ordinary people connect us all. Today's story, The Baker's Son.
Hi, I'm Samson Tucker.
Let's see how old you are.
I'm 16 and a baker's son.
So first things first, yes, Sam's son is named Samson. So the story starts when Samson was really little.
Samson had been a real happy baby.
This is Kelly, Sam's wife and Samson's mom.
Woke up singing. Love that memory. He would sit up in his crib and just sing. And as he got a little older, he had some issues with digestive things. He gradually became a little less happy.
So when Samson was 4 and a half, he started to feel awful. He would double over in pain, holding his stomach. Here's Sam, Samson's dad.
I think there was, I think there was a point at which I was afraid that he had some sort of, intestinal cancer or something like that.
He became withdrawn and depressed. He just wasn't acting like himself.
He would say things as a 4 or 5 year old kid. Like, I remember him saying at a family gathering, my mom was trying to pull him out and say, hey, you want to, go play, go out in the yard, let's play kickball or something like that. And his response was, what difference does it make? I'm just going to die.
At 4 or 5?
Yeah.
Kelly and Sam took Samson to the doctor. He thought it might be something autoimmune related, so they did a blood test.
The blood test for him came back. It was inaccurate. The gastroenterologist she sent us to was really good, but he said, well, it probably needs more fiber. So we went and bought whole wheat and added gluten to vital wheat gluten to some of the baked things I made, thinking that was more, it wasn't really more fiber, but in my naivete, I thought that was going to be healthier.
After a few months on this diet, Samson was only getting worse. The doctor decided to do an endoscopic biopsy and actually stick a camera through Samson's mouth to see inside his GI tract.
He was diagnosed.
I have celiac disease. Well, it's an autoimmune disorder. So whenever I have gluten, my immune system goes haywire and attacks my intestines. It's the most painful experience I've had in my life.
Gluten is a protein that's found in wheat. When you combine wheat flour with water, it becomes sticky and stretchy. It's what makes pastries crisp and hot artisan bread chewy. And it's a cosmic joke that Samson can't eat most of the delicious baked goods his dad makes.
Once we got the diagnosis or the prognosis of celiac, it was a relief for us, actually, because we could, know what it is, deal with it, and move ahead.
They started paying attention to everything they would buy. Reading labels, cooking at the house a lot more, just being super cautious. And Samson started to feel a lot better. So to talk about what happens next, we need to go back just a little bit, to a few months before Samson was diagnosed. Sam and Kelly were trying to have a second kid.
I'd always wanted to be a mommy and have lots of kids around.
But she wasn't getting pregnant.
I was older then, a little bit old for wanting to be a mom again, and was told that unfortunately I might probably wouldn't get pregnant. And then we decided to pursue adoption. We're really looking into that, really getting to the point where we were ready to start the process, and I got pregnant all of a sudden.
And it's partway through this pregnancy that Samson gets diagnosed with celiac. Kelly tries to be supportive and eat gluten-free when Samson was around.
Because, it would help at dinner time.
She started to notice that she was feeling really sick, but she chalked it up to pregnancy, yet acknowledged that she felt much sicker this time than she did with Samson.
It seemed to be associated with some of the stuff I would eat at work at lunchtime that I wasn't eating around Samson.
She thought maybe she had celiac too. She went to her primary care doctor, who said there are too many false positives and discouraged her from taking the test. Her obstetrician said that he didn't think it would affect the baby, and they could watch and see if the baby wasn't getting enough nutrients by monitoring its size.
And so I didn't get tested. I just quit eating gluten in case it was going to be bad for the baby and because it felt better to me. Because of my age, they did the standard Down's testing, in the middle of the pregnancy. And that came back a little higher risk than average for my age. We were about 4 weeks out from my due date. He was not big. I tried not to worry because my tendency is to worry. So tried to put that aside and did pretty well. And then at 36 weeks, I realized one day I hadn't really felt him kicking. Just wasn't feeling much at all. So I did the things they had told us generally to do, drink a Coke or orange juice.
The increased blood sugar is supposed to make the baby move.
I think it was late at night, so I waited till the next morning and ended up going to the emergency room at Baptist.
Just because of you weren't feeling anything?
Yeah, because I couldn't get any movement. I couldn't feel any movement. I couldn't make the baby move. And they cannot find a heartbeat.
He was gone. The baby was small for how far along Kelly was, which she says her doctor told her was common in women with undiagnosed celiac disease, especially ones who were eating gluten early in their pregnancy. So was gluten responsible? That's really the question. And there's no way to really know, but it left Kelly wondering. And no matter the cause, it was a great loss. Right before this happened, Sam and Kelly had just landed on a name for their son.
Isaac Luke, which kind of ironically means, Isaac means laughter. We were happy. We were so happy when we found out about him. And Luke means light. And that was Samson's pick because Samson was really into Luke Skywalker, Star Wars.
Did you see him?
We did. We delivered the baby and he was small, but we did get to hold him.
Their pastor helped them find a cemetery near them, which gives free burial plots to families with stillborn children.
That was healing. It was hard. But we had people, family came from out of town even, and friends were there with us. It was a big thing for our whole family. It was really hard, really meaningful.
Back at home, Sam and Kelly watched as their other son, Samson, got better. He was acting like his old self again, but they realized that he now had a new burden to carry.
As a younger guy, he was always very willing to stay on the diet. He never was tempted to cheat because he knew how bad he would feel. But he was very compliant and but sad sometimes. Sometimes he was, as a 5, 6, 7-year-old, He would be really sad about not being able to eat something. And we always tried to bring to a birthday party what they were having so he could have the same, but it wasn't quite the same. And every once in a while we'd get the wrong thing. So it was a little tough.
And it's not just going to birthday parties.
We went to a Whole Foods right when Whole Foods opened in Green Hills. And Samson was thrilled. He thought, oh, they're going to have gluten-free. They advertise they're going to have gluten-free products. He goes into the prepared foods section, and they have these bars, the hot and cold bar. And he walks up to one of the employees and goes, excuse me, sir, I'm celiac. What can I eat? And the guy says, you should probably just stay away from everything here. And Samson was like, damn, I just saw, 7 or 8-year-old kid just crushed because he couldn't engage with the other people that were going there to eat.
So how could Sam help his son feel more included? That's coming up after a short break.
Each word I know, you're clothed in only sunlight in your flesh.
This episode of Neighbors is brought to you by Magnolia Record Club, a vinyl subscription service curated by Drew Holcomb. For $25, you get a brand new vinyl, custom art, and a card explaining why Drew chose the record. March's record is Let a Lover Drown You by Penny and Sparrow. Listeners of Neighbors can get 20% off their first box by visiting magnoliarecordclub.com and entering in the promo code Neighbors. For lovers of Americana, folk, and sweet, sweet singer-songwriters, visit MagnoliaRecordClub.com. Promo code NEIGHBORS. That's the American spelling, not the British. Okay, so knowing that Samson has celiac has enabled his family to take care of him. But the trade-off is that he's excluded from a lot of great food and certain social interactions. So in order to provide those experiences for his son, Sam turned his baking energy toward gluten-free items. He discovered different techniques to make a good crumb and crust. I wondered if he ever taught Samson how to make anything for himself.
Yeah. He makes,
Pat-de-shoe?
Yeah, not shoe like what you wear on your feet, but C-H-O-U-X. And it's, what you use to make eclairs or cream puffs.
They would make it and use it as hamburger buns.
And this was a great moment for us, because he realized that he had options and that he could make his own bread. It's a good vehicle for hamburger and Samson because we crammed it with Gruyere cheese. The cheese was off-putting to him at first, and he said, "Dad, it smells like a fish butt."
Fish butt buns.
So he called them fish butt buns.
A couple of years after teaching Samson how to make fish butt buns, Sam decided to go into the gluten-free baking business and started a company.
Called Fat Jack's. That was an all gluten-free thing. And it wasn't a retail place. It was just like we made gluten-free bread and sold it to grocery stores.
And that was me trying to build a connection with Samson and Kelly by sort of employing all of the processes and applying that to building gluten-free products.
And that was so cool.
And the people that I was partnering with wanted to just kind of revert back to the same ideas of let's just make this like polyvinyl chloride in a Chrysler factory. You know, there's an assembly line thing and there's no real respect for it and there's no soul to it.
They would sell their bread to large retail chains, and those clients would say that they needed the price to come down. So Sam's business partners started to cut corners, use inferior ingredients, and create something that was very shelf-stable. So shelf-stable, as Sam puts it, that it stays that way in your gut. And to him,
if it's hard for your body to break it down, if it's hard for your body to pull nutrients out of it, you've just not done anything worthwhile at the end of the day.
Now, there was already a tension with his business partners, but then something even bigger happened. The natural disaster that everyone in Nashville remembers. The 2010 flood.
The place he was baking didn't get flooded, but our home got flooded. We were certainly out of pocket and out of energy for a while. I mean, he was torn, pulled in different directions.
So Sam quit Fat Jack's and started working restaurant jobs again. A place called The Kitchen at 404, a restaurant in the Gulch in Nashville called Watermark. He was working hard. He needed to make money for his family. But that meant spending all of his time away from them. Here we are back at the bakery.
Want some chocolate?
Yeah. Always.
Kelly's put up with a lot of shit. A whole lot of Valentine's days. Where I'm just gone. A whole lot of anniversaries that were postponed. Or not served well. A whole lot of New Year's Eve. Where I'm standing in a kitchen with a glass of champagne in one hand and a mop in the other while she's at home. A whole lot of her taking care of Samson and family needs that, you know, I wasn't able to fill. She had to put up with a whole lot of failure from me. May I have one of those half sheets?
Samson's now 16. He's in high school, has his license.
And Samson, what are you doing?
I'm cooking water. Just kidding. It's a physics project.
I asked him if having celiac made him feel like an outsider or not.
I wouldn't say I'm not an outsider in some cases, but I think it's not bad to be an outsider.
What do you mean by that?
Like, I don't want to have to worry about fitting in, because when I worry about fitting in is when I become the most awkward and excluded. So when I'm just myself and I don't, like, it's okay if I have to not eat the food that they're having, or like if I have to miss a party, like, that's fine. And when I fully embody that attitude, that's when I can enjoy myself with people or by myself. And that's when I can truly, I don't know, it's just a much better place to be.
What do you think of your son?
What do I think of him, man? He's a much better version of me and Kelly, for sure.
So back to the sticky bun in Sam's bakery. It's full of flour. Organically sourced, but plain old flour. Milling flour was actually Sam's job right before Samson was diagnosed.
He'd come home from the mill room at Great Harvest covered in flour, and I had a dark blue interior on my little Honda. I mean Toyota Celica. And he would get in the car and close the door, and when he'd open it back up, it would be covered in white from the flour he was wearing home.
So when they found out about celiac, they had to cope with Sam's chosen line of work.
I mean, did you, like, hose off outside? Did you take your clothes off outside? Or did you just...
was forbidden from washing my, you know, my glutinous clothes with anybody else's clothes.
So it's kind of like some separation in the house, like you had your pile of...
Yeah, and I couldn't have bread in the house, my own glutinous bread in the house for the longest time, but now I have a special place where I store glutinous things for myself.
Can you show it to me?
It's that box right there, but there's nothing in there right now.
Can you open it for me? What is this thing?
Personal. Are you gonna go through my personal?
Yeah, there? Yeah. If you let me.
All right. Right now it's just that's all that's in there.
Just a couple bottles of beer.
I don't have any bread in there right now. I'm out.
Nice. So it's your little daddy cabinet.
Yeah. Well, we call it the man box. Daddy cabinet sounds perverse.
But if you have the choice of a glutinous cookie or a cookie that's void of gluten, what's your preference?
Well, I think there's no substitute for wheat in bread. Those two prolamines work together, gliadin and glutenin, that make what we call gluten. There are ways that you can sort of manufacture what they achieve in bread, in the crumb and the crust and taste, but it's just a difficult machine to manipulate.
So you have a family that has lost a lot due to a little protein, gluten. And yet you have a husband and father who works at a place that uses it all the time. How is that okay?
And rather than view this as like a turning my back on my family, it's more of a just kind of pulling everything together and being able to take all the things that I've been trained to do over the years and put them in one place so that I can do it on my own terms. And doing it on my own terms means that I can find a way to include Samson and Kelly in it.
They actually help Sam out at the bakery. Samson wears gloves and knows if Sam is about to work with flour and it might be airborne, he needs to get out, go for a walk.
Even if we can't eat the bread, like, I still know all the breads and I can kind of describe them and we can talk about, like, business figures and things, you know?
I asked Kelly about the tension of their family history and Sam doing what he does.
Yeah, there's been some real obvious, real strange kind of tensions in his life. He's a baker. Gluten is not necessarily evil. Thought it was for a long time, but now I think it might help pay for my child's college and high school, for that matter. And I hope that this is a time when it's being resolved and he can be less, he can feel less like he's over there and we're over here, because I think he felt that some for a while, both because of the gluten thing and because he was always working, and we were home.
So Sam can still stick to his principles of making high-quality food, and Samson and Kelly know their limits and can work with him. Now, from time to time, I have my friend Chance on the show to do a food review. Coincidentally, he's good friends with Sam and his family. We were talking about Sam the other day, and he told me this story that I'm going to end with.
So, like, recently, I was at an event that Sam's restaurant catered, and Sam did a number of incredible desserts for the event, and Samson and Kelly came early to help set things up, and I was there as well. And Samson walks over and says, "Dad, what desserts did you make for tonight?" And Sam is going through, like, "I made this and this and this." And then he reaches over and he pulls out this small pastry box and hands it to Samson and goes, "And I put this together for you and Mom before I left work." So even in the middle of everything else he had to do, Sam made sure that there was some kind of provision made so that Samson and Kelly wouldn't miss out on all the goodness. And maybe that's, maybe that's one of the important things about Samson. He knows that he matters.
Neighbors is produced by me, Jacob Lewis, with production assistance from Bailey Robbins. Editing by Rob McGinley Myers, Emily Siner, and Mac Linebaugh. Some music in this episode is by Poddington Bear, and Chris Stewart designed the episode artwork. And I just want to give a very special shout out to Nashville Public Radio for such a warm welcome into the family. Thanks, guys. Neighbors is a member of The Herd, an audio collective of six amazing producers and their sound-rich shows. Check out the show Arrivals by Jonathan Hirsch. In a recent episode, Jonathan tells the tale of two friends switching coast. Spoiler alert, one of those is him.
On my way home, the cab driver is listening to arena rock. The hollow, inflated boom of power chords bouncing around the interiors of the cab as he thunders down the Brooklyn Queens Expressway. To the west, the Manhattan skyline, a dizzying twinkle of dying constellations across a universe I watch disappear from my view.
For more information about Arrivals and The Herd, visit theherdradio.com. Now that's H-E-A-R-D, because we are so punny. I'm Jacob Lewis, and I'm reminding you to get to know your neighbors.